You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Puerto Rico's story right now is about a government without enough money. But what about a government that just gave people money? It's an idea called universal basic income, and it's exactly what it sounds like. Money for everyone, rich or poor, whether or not you're working. It's one of those weird things that has fans who are both socialists and fans on the economic right. Milton Friedman was a proponent, for example. It's in vogue right now in Silicon Valley and a couple of other places. And Paula Dwyer is a columnist at Bloomberg View, and she's written about UBI. Paula, lay out for me where we're seeing universal basic income be studied right now.
They're popping up everywhere, less so in the United States, more so in Europe. There's one that's going to take place very soon, or a referendum take place very soon in Switzerland. So the idea there is that every citizen would get $2,600 a month. The country of Finland is going to do a two-year trial. Several cities in the Netherlands, like Utrecht, are conducting pilot programs. And then there's a nonprofit group in the United States called Give Directly that will give 6,000 Kenyans a guaranteed income for many, many years, like 10 to 15 years. And the idea is to see what they do with the money. Do they become slugs, or do they get really creative and innovative and add economic value?
Because one of the theories behind this that has been written about a little bit is if you have direct cash income coming toward you, you're less likely to take a BS job and do something, I don't know, more of a calling or maybe more kind of productive in society writ large, yeah?
That would seem to be correct, except that in the 1970s, Canada had an experiment with this. And one researcher looked at what people did with that money, and she found out that people were healthier, more productive, more likely to finish high school, and the only people who really slacked off, if you want to call it that, were women who had a baby. They actually left the workforce for
Not exactly a little bit longer,
and then they went back to work. But we don't have enough data, really, and that's what all these experiments are about.
Could this work in the United States?
Well, I'll tell you why I've become a fan.
Okay.
One of the things that has bothered me for many, many years is that in the United States, we have an array of social welfare programs to help people who, for whatever reason, need it. You have so many different things, and if you add them all up, it's about $1 trillion a year. Every one of those programs has eligibility criteria, and among those criteria are you cannot earn more than X amount of money, which means that they can fall off the earnings cliff. You earn one penny more than you should, and suddenly your benefits dry up. To me, that is such a strong disincentive for people to work. And I personally believe people want to work, but they also don't want to lose their benefits. So that earnings cliff has become a real problem in terms of encouraging people to improve themselves. So to me, that's the beauty of a universal basic income. It's not enough money really to live off of, but it's just enough to get you by, and then you can go out and you can get a job and you can supplement it.
This has become in vogue in Silicon Valley because some folks there have embraced the idea that automation or technology might phase some people out of their jobs. So why not supplement cash assistance?
Silicon Valley is probably the font of universal basic income thought right now. And they are attracted to it for two reasons. One is if people don't have money, they can't buy technology. And two, if technology is going to replace a lot of jobs, if we're going to see a lot more layoffs, there could be civil unrest. And, you know, it's really not fair for the people who can't get a job anymore. And a lot of people cannot be retrained, say, in the types of things that would employ us in the future. And so what do? Instead of saying you're no good anymore, you give them a basic income. And I think that appeals to their social conscience.
Social welfare programs in the U.S. have a somewhat complicated history in that they also have distinct political constituencies. You've seen Democrats push back against, say, means testing Social Security because they like the idea that it is for everyone. The politics of this seem like they would be almost impossible to move.
What I found is that the politics are not what you would expect. I thought a universal basic income would be welcomed with open arms by liberals. It turns out that people on the left are more opposed to this than people on the right, and I'll tell you why. There is a social welfare lobby, and they want to see what they have been working for all their lives continued. I mean, it's a basic human instinct. But they also feel that we're talking about utopia. A universal basic income is just so idealistic. It's so radical. It's so out there. It will never happen. So why should we be distracted by that? We need to focus on more immediate things. On the other hand, people on the right, conservatives or libertarians, maybe not on the right, they like the idea of a universal basic income because it makes government more efficient. So instead of having all these $1 trillion worth of programs with all their different eligibility criteria, we can do without it. We can just give everybody a check and voila, efficient government. And we've done what government is supposed to do, make sure that people are fed and housed and clothed.
Paula Dwyer is a columnist for Bloomberg View. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. It was a delight.